You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Beware of Witchcraft. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
On July 5, 1999, Time magazine announced that a most unusual and even bizarre spiritual movement has recently sprung up and is now rapidly growing in the United States. These members of this small and bizarre cult meet privately at night. And according to Time magazine, at these night meetings, a high priestess lifts her arms up to the moon as her jewelry glistens in the light of the fire coming from a large boiling pot. Others, called a circle of power, stand around this family high priestess as she calls upon the spirits of witchcraft. This strange group is not a gathering of teenagers dabbling in exotic religions. Time magazine explained last July that this group of exotic and bizarre spiritualists was part of a growing group of respected U.S. Army colonels, sergeants, captains, and privates who belong to a group of 50 kindred spirits who assemble regularly at the largest U.S. military base in Fort Hood, Texas. Finally, Time magazine explains that this group in Texas is part of an even larger and growing group which follows a polytheistic, nature-based religion that centers on pagan earth goddesses. And after military officials in Fort Hood, Texas gave official recognition to this witchcraft over 2 years ago, other military bases sanctioned this same bizarre religion. And so what can a person say? Well, as our society moves more and more away from Bible-based and Christ-centered religion, and as more and more people are tempted to follow religious cult figures, and those who claim to be able to converse with witches, deceased relatives, and even the devil himself, we need to look into the Bible and to see what God says in His Word about witches and witchcraft and sorcerers and mediums and spiritists and all that type of stuff. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, we read about the famous King Saul. And at the end of this king's life, his enemies, the Philistines, were causing Saul much trouble. So King Saul gathered his soldiers together to fight the enemy. But Saul was also scared of the enemy. He didn't know what to do. Oh, King Saul thought, if only I could speak to Samuel. He would know what to do. But to talk to Samuel was impossible because, you see, Samuel was dead. And now this is also where the Bible story becomes extremely interesting and terribly tragic. You see, not far from King Saul's military camp was a village called Endor. And in this village lived a woman who talked with the spirits. Nowadays we call such a person a witch. At this point, some of Saul's servants told the king about the witch who lived at Endor. Therefore, Saul decided to visit this witch. Of course, Saul knew that this witch would be afraid of him, and so he disguised himself in the clothes of a poor man. Then Saul went to consult the witch. However, when the witch tried to call Samuel's spirit from the dead, she saw something that frightened her terribly. And she knew at once that the old man who was waiting to hear Samuel's words was King Saul himself. She cried, "Why have you fooled me?" But Saul told the witch not to be afraid. And then he asked her what she had seen. And then, when she described the form of an old man wrapped in a mantle, Saul cried, "It is Samuel!" Now the Bible explains, instead of receiving help and comfort from this spirit of the dead, Saul heard words that frightened him more than ever. This messenger who spoke to Saul said that, On the next day, he, King Saul, and his three sons would be killed, and that the Philistines would gain a great victory over his people. And when the voices ceased speaking, Saul lay helpless upon the ground. The witch then prepared some food for Saul to eat, and then Saul rose up and went away with his two companions. On the next day, the Bible explains, the battle began, and the Philistines overpowered the men of Israel and killed many of them. Saul's three sons fell dead on the battlefield. Saul himself was wounded. However, when Saul realized that the Philistines would come and torture him, he commanded his armor-bearer to kill him. But the armor-bearer said, "I cannot kill the Lord's anointed." And so then the Bible tells us, Saul fell upon his own sword, and he died. And so the message from God's Word today is crystal clear. Even though we may feel that dabbling in witchcraft and spirits appears harmless, there's always a price. In His holy Word, God is direct in His gracious warning that He will not tolerate even experimentation or dabbling in any type of spiritual movement. In His first of the Ten Commandments, God says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." In the explanation of God's second commandment, Martin Luther writes, "We should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie or deceive by God's name, but call upon His name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks." And so then, to discuss or argue whether or not witches exist and whether or not the devil works through witchcraft is really a waste of time. You see, the Old Testament of the Bible testifies clearly to the existence of evil powers. And in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see Jesus repeatedly clashing with the power of the devil. And in his letter to the Christians at Ephesus, St. Paul writes, "We are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, yes, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And so then today, whether you are a teenager or whether you are older like King Saul, you too may be tempted to dabble around or to experiment with witchcraft or spiritual powers or mediums or movements other than the Holy Spirit of the Bible. In his large catechism, Martin Luther further explains that when we speak about the Spirit, we must concentrate on the term Holy Spirit, because it is so precise that we can find no substitute for this word. Many other kinds of spirits are mentioned in the Scripture, such as the spirit of man, heavenly spirits, and evil spirits. However, only the Spirit of God, the third person in the Trinity, is called the Holy Spirit. And so then, my friend, no matter who you are, dabble no longer with the spirits of evil, which deceptively promise life and hope, but deliver only destruction and death. Instead, call upon the Holy Spirit of the true God. Without adding unnecessary comment, let me tell you what God, in His Word, promises you through His Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, God says that His Spirit convicts us of our sin. And without this conviction, you and I will never, in sincere repentance, turn to our gracious God and be saved from the penalty and the curse of our sins. In John 16, we also read that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. This truth spoken of in the Bible is not merely religious information. This truth that the Holy Spirit promises to point you to and to lead you to is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." As the Spirit of God focuses your eyes of faith on Jesus Christ, He will also enable you to see Jesus as your Savior hangs on that bloody cross of Calvary. This same Holy Spirit of God will then convict your heart that it was your sins that caused Jesus to bleed and to die. And praise God, yes, praise God, that this same Spirit will daily comfort and eternally assure your heart that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all of your sin. In 1 Corinthians, we read that no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1, we know that we are safe in Jesus because God has given us His Spirit. In Romans 8, we read that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, we read that God gives us His Spirit, and that Spirit enables us to lead a life pleasing to our Lord. In Luke chapter 12, we are told that when you know not what to say or how to pray, then the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God promises to send you His Spirit to help you understand the Bible. Of course, I could list many, many more places in God's Word where He promises unlimited blessings through His Spirit in your faith and life. And it is also no wonder that the great reformer, Martin Luther, confessed by saying these words, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, even as God's Spirit calls and gathers and enlightens and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ and the one true faith, in which Christian church God's Spirit daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will at the last day raise up me and all the dead and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life." This is most certainly true. And so then, God's message of mercy for you today is clear. Don't dabble around in witchcraft or mediums, but instead, by the power that your Heavenly Father now promises you, use that power to adamantly and absolutely refuse to pray or to call upon or to rely upon any other spirit than the Holy Spirit. Other spirits do exist. They have great power. They are initially inviting, but their end is despair, destruction, and death. On the other hand, God's Spirit will lead you to truth and to Jesus Christ. God's Spirit will keep you also in that same truth. Oh yes, my friend, God's Spirit will enable you to carry on in this life, and this same Spirit will carry you through the dark hallway of death and into the light of everlasting paradise. Oh Lord, we pray, let this Holy Spirit be true in the minds of all who are listening today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.